Welcome to another Wayne Community Radio update. We are featuring interviews with people about things that are happening in and around Wayne County. And this time we're going to focus on Dark Skies Over Torrey with an individual who's been closely involved, working, volunteering to make this happen. And that's Mary Bedingfield Smith. And we're joining her in her lovely home in Torrey. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for coming. I'm really happy to talk about this.
Before we talk about the initiative, the fundraising, the lighting plan, exactly what's happening on the ground, the involvement of Entrada, an art auction is coming up, a lot of specific activities, I'd like to talk for just a little bit about the Dark Skies concern and concept. It seems to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but compared to concerns about water pollution and air pollution, the concern about a clear view of a night sky with problems encountered with light pollution is a more recent initiative and concern.
Well, I think you're right in that it seems to be in the forefront more now than it has been in the past. But I think part of that may be because people are just now beginning to realize the effects of over-lighting on the night sky and the health of people and the health of the animals and plants in the ecosystem. So because of that recent knowledge, I think it's in the news more now. And I'm also thinking, although I don't know why I think this, that maybe people have a feeling that lighting is something that they can actually do something about almost immediately, whereas with water pollution and air pollution, there are so many other entities that are connected to that that it's almost beyond the grasp of an individual to do anything about that.
And this is not strictly Torrey or the U.S., it's an international effort.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's international. And there's an organization called the International Dark Sky Association, which is based in Tucson, but they are reaching out across the world to address this issue. There's a map, and I don't know the name of the map, but you can go online and look for this map, and it shows you the lighting seen from space across the entire world, and it shows you what it was in the past, and then 25 years later, and 25 years later, and even it projects what it's going to look like from space 25 years from now. So I think that's all part of this international dark sky movement.
Most people, except I guess those who grow up in urban areas in big cities, probably grow up with memories of being out in their backyards at night looking straight up and, you know, contemplating the vast universe and figuring out the Milky Way and naming constellations. I grew up in the Midwest in a small town, and if we turned our porch lights off, we could go out in the backyard and get a pretty good view of the night sky. A lot of people can probably relate to that. I'm not sure about you.
Well, I think a lot of people can relate to the memory of it, but I don't know if they can relate to actually being able to do that right now. But I remember when I was little, my brother and I would sleep out in the backyard. We grew up in Utah, and in Idaho, we'd sleep out in the backyard in the sleeping bags. And the best part about it wasn't the sleeping out, it was the looking at the sky and watching the shooting stars and imagining other people up there on those other lights looking down at us and wondering what they were thinking about. So I feel really lucky that I was able to grow up with that, and that living here in Torrey, you can still do that. But so many people in the world now live in urbanized areas or suburban areas that have so much light that they look up at the sky and they can't see anything other than the major stars, the most prominent constellations like Orion and the Big Dipper. And that's about all they can see now. So we're so lucky to live here in this really dark corner of the United States. And so part of this working to help Torrey become an international dark sky community is so that we can preserve that experience for the people that live here, and for people who come to visit, they can have that experience too.
One more thing, though. In the general discussion about preserving dark skies, you suggested in your first response was that it's more than an aesthetic issue. It's nice to be able to see the Milky Way, but you're saying there are some areas of research that suggest that constant lighting all night has some biological effects.
Well, with human beings, one of the chemicals that our body produces is melatonin, and you get that partly at night. So if you're always exposed to light, whether that's lighting inside your house or even sitting in front of a computer, when it's nighttime, your body's circadian rhythm is expecting to go to sleep when it's dark. But if you're always experiencing light, you're not going to go to sleep, and then you're not going to get melatonin produced. And there are lots of potential side effects that they're just beginning to look at. And they're even talking about depression being part of that. And while there hasn't been a direct link connecting it, some people are even saying that some cancers may be affected by that lack of melatonin or the disruption in your circadian rhythms. I just saw an article online yesterday. This fellow was talking about lights, bright lights that are placed by trees. And trees are affected by those all-night bright lights because they communicate with the world through the length of days and the length of nights, and that lets them know what they're supposed to do. So if a tree is by a light that's on all night long, it might start blooming earlier and losing its leaves later in the fall because the light is giving it the signal that it's spring and summer instead of fall and winter. But I'd never even thought about that before, but it's really an interesting idea. And then birds can get off their migration routes based by, how much light, or come into glass that's illuminated because they think that they're going toward the sun. And bats and prey animals eat at night as opposed to predator animals. And so if it's not night, then how do they get their food?
We're speaking with Mary Bedingfield Smith about Dark Skies Over Torrey, an initiative that involves a community-driven support to raise money to replace some of the lights that contribute to light pollution, reduce dark skies in Torrey, and some other activities that are coming up in the immediate future. And I thought I might have mentioned this earlier. A few people are aware that Capitol Reef National Park got a significant designation a couple of years ago.
Yes, in April of 2015, they were designated by the International Dark Sky Association as an International Dark Sky Park. And that's less than 10 miles away from Torrey. So they were recognized as already being really a dark place in the western United States. And Torrey being right on their doorstep can act as a buffer for that park, and people come to dark places as tourists to see the stars. So they'll come to the park, and if they come to Torrey because it's a dark sky community adjacent to a dark sky park, we're hoping that that will affect the economy of Torrey in a beneficial way. In fact, there was an article in Time magazine last month that talked about this concept of astrotourism. And the article was very brief, but it alluded to the fact that economies can improve in towns that are dark sky by between 5 and 10%, just with that designation.
For some reason, Bryce Canyon jumped on this earlier. They have lots of astronomy programs, bringing in nationally astronomy enthusiasts with their telescopes. And I've been told, they may argue otherwise, but Capitol Reef has darker skies than Bryce Canyon.
Well, that's what I've been told too, but I don't know the truth of that. So I'll let anybody who wants to say they have the darkest skies go ahead and say they have the darkest skies. But we want to have the dark skies too.
Okay, well, let's move on to the specific Dark Skies Over Torrey project. First, a brief overview.
May I tell you how come I even got interested in it?
Sure.
Okay. So Scott and I moved here permanently a little over 3 years ago. And one of the things we were really looking forward to is sitting outside in the dark, looking at the dark skies and looking at the constellations. So one of the very first nights when we sat outside, I'm looking at this row of cottonwood trees that's all along the west side of our property, and they were completely illuminated by a light somewhere. I didn't know where the light was. So we started walking around the house, and town is just one block away. I'm in the county, but town is a block away. And there was one light that was so bright that it was illuminating this entire row of cottonwoods. So I thought, all right, let's find out a little bit more about that light. Well, through a series of conversations, I learned that most of the streetlights in Torrey are paid for by the town of Torrey via a tariff that they're assessed by Garkane Energy. Torrey thinks they have 22, but Garkane Energy says they have 20 streetlights. And Torrey pays a tariff of about $9 each month on each of those lights. So I was trying to find out if I could get that one light replaced to avoid this shining of the lights on our trees. But I had to get permission from Torrey Town to do it. So they said, sure, go ahead, because I was going to pay for it. So I contacted Garkane Energy, and they had these LED lights, five of them, in their warehouse. And they said, sure, we'll put an LED light up instead. Well, everybody knows LED lights are supposed to be really great. So they put up this new LED light. And oh my word, it was so much brighter than the light that was there before. It's like, that is not what I wanted, even though it was LED. So I started making some other phone calls, and I was introduced to this fellow named Richard Hibbard, who I don't know if he works for UDOT, but I know he's done some consulting for the Utah Department of Transportation. And he said that the light that Garkane Energy put up was actually the kind of LED lights that they put up on freeways. So no wonder it was so bright. So we did a lot more conversation, and eventually I connected Richard with Chad Williams, who was the town maintenance man of Torrey at the time. And Chad and Richard had a conversation, and Richard made it possible for Torrey to receive, via a grant, seven appropriate LED lights to replace seven of the lights on Main Street, which is the main part of town. So they put those lights up, and it was so much better than this highway light. And so lights have, LED street lights have types, and they're types 1 through type 5, and it all has to do with how far out the light spreads. So type 1 has the narrowest spread, and type 5, that freeway light, has the widest spread. And so we ended up with type 2 lights, which are very narrow. They're at the intersection, so they can illuminate where people need to turn in, so it doesn't spread light out all around on the neighbors. So that's what we ended up with. Well, then I thought, okay, if we can do that, which made a big difference here, then maybe we can do something to replace all of Torrey's lights. And
what they have now are the sodium gas. They use a lot of electricity, and they cast kind of a unnatural glow.
Right. They're high-pressure sodium lights, and you can identify them because they're shaped kind of like a that old beehive skep that people are used to, and the light that comes out of them is very orange, and it's scattered all over through the sky. The light goes straight up. There's a lot of glare. There's a lot of trespass onto neighbors' properties and so forth. So, and they use a lot of electricity too. So at the time when I was first looking into it, this has been like a multi-year process. When I was looking into it, Wayne County was designated an economic enterprise zone. So if people made donations to nonprofits, qualified nonprofits, then they could get a direct tax credit on their Utah taxes. But the state legislature got rid of that a year ago, so we are not able to do that anymore. So that's when I thought, okay, how are we going to be able to replace these lights? And Torrey can't afford it because they're a small rural town, not a huge economic base. So it had to be somehow donated. So that's when I started talking to Marcy Milligan at Entrada. And Marcy suggested that this would be a good partnership because Entrada has a dark sky initiative. So then I said, well, how can we make it possible for people to make donations and get credit on their taxes if they file federal taxes. And she suggested that I go online and see if I can find a crowdfunding platform that would make it possible, something like Kickstarter. So I just went online and I looked for community project type of platforms. And the one that stood out above others and was recommended by reviews was called IOBY, which is I-O-B-Y. It stands for In Our Backyard, as opposed to NIMBY, which is not in my backyard. So I thought, IOBY, In Our Backyard, it's in our backyard. So it was perfect. And the nice thing about IOBY is you set a goal, whatever your program goal is, and whether you reach that goal or not, you receive all of the money that's donated.
Unlike Kickstarter, which is all or nothing.
Exactly, right. So that's why I was really looking at this one positively. And then when I contacted them, they were very enthusiastic about the project, and they've given a lot of support along the way and suggestions and checking in. And yeah, they've been really, really good. And also some of those platforms, there's big fees that you have to pay in addition to collecting your money. And IOBY has a fee. It's a 3% fee on your total goal, but that's for administration. And if you make a donation, they immediately send out an email that acknowledges your donation, so you can have the receipt for your taxes. And they just seemed like they were going to work the best. So I've been able to use IOBY to collect online donations, and they are also a 501c3 organization, nonprofit. But Entrada, via Annette Lamb, who's the president, she sends out all my email blasts that say, this is what's happening, these are the updates. We've combined a bunch of email lists that come through Entrada and other organizations. So all those people are getting all that information via the emails that Annette sets up. But that links them to the IOBY website.
Entrada has, for several years, had a Heritage Starfest. And ideally, it would be held by the Robber's Roost bookstore, but I believe they moved it out to Bicknell or another location, because I suppose there's probably a lot of stray light in Torrey around the Robber's Roost bookstore. I don't know that for a fact.
That's very interesting to me, because our project, our campaign, is ending on the week before the Heritage Star Festival. Because what I'm hoping to do is announce at the Heritage Star Festival, which is the last day of September and the 1st of October, the results of the campaign. And already, we're going to be able to say we've gathered enough money to replace all of Torreytown streetlights, which is very thrilling to me. So if there's a bright light by Robber's Roost and the new Entrada Center, then if it's a streetlight, that will be replaced. And if they don't want to continue doing it in Bicknell or Teasdale, if they want to bring it back to Robber's Roost, if it's gone away, then they'll be able to do that because the light will be taken care of.
Well, I have to do a separate interview about the Heritage Starfest. And I know recently part of it is also held out at Capitol Reef National Park.
Yeah.
They partnered
with
the park, so there's that too. So exactly how much money is the community trying to raise, and what happens if you hit your goal?
Well, we're trying to raise a little over $18,000. About $8,000 of it is going to replace the Torreytown lights. And then $2,000 of it is to establish two dark sky information kiosks, one at the visitor center at the junction of Highways 12 and 24, and another one at the new Entrada Center. And we're going to name those after Linton Rohr, who was the local star enthusiast, expert, who wrote that really delightful Stargazing Tips article in The Insider. In fact, I'd already been talking to Linton before he passed away about these kiosks, and he graciously said that we could use his articles that he had written for the paper. We might just have to tweak them just a little bit to make them timely. And then after he passed away, Karen, his wife, has sent me all those articles, and she's really excited about the Linton Rohr Dark Sky kiosks. And I've met his mother. And then via this IOBY online campaign, I met his brother, who made a comment on the website, and then he and I talked via email, and he's going to be here for the Star Festival. So that's going to be fabulous. And then the other part of the money is going to be to help private individuals in Torrey replace their lighting, their outdoor lighting, if they need assistance and if they're not dark sky friendly. And I think that some people are a little nervous about that part. And I think they're a little nervous about it because it's new. And if people are like me, sometimes I'm really shy about new things. But also, I think there may be a misconception that dark sky means that there are no lights. And that's absolutely not what dark sky means. Dark sky means appropriate lights. And basically, appropriate lights are lights that are fully shielded from the top, so no light goes up to the sky, and that the light is pointed at the ground, and that you can't see the source of the light, which is the light bulb. So that might mean you might just have to replace the glass on an outdoor fixture with something that's frosted, and that way you don't see the source of the light. So that's our basic goals, and that's what that money is going to go toward. And then once that got started, I started looking more on the International Dark Sky website, and I saw this little heading called International Dark Sky Community. And I looked at the guidelines for that, and Torrey is so close to already qualifying to be an International Dark Sky Community that I thought, why not go for it? And we will be the first community in Utah to be designated that. And there are only two others in the Western United States that even have that designation. So I contacted John Barentine, who is the one that's over that program at the International Dark Sky Association. And I sent him Torrey's outdoor lighting ordinance, which he's reviewing to see if there's anything that we need to tweak. And he's already familiar with Torrey because he came a couple of years ago for the Heritage Star Festival. So he said, I love Torrey. So he knows all about it. He's really enthusiastic. And the more I talk to people about it, it seems like there's lots of support and enthusiasm for that idea as well.
We're speaking with Mary Bedingfield Smith about dark skies over Torrey here on Kay Wayne Community Radio. As of today, as we speak, the 1st of September, how far along are you toward your goal?
We're a little over halfway. We have 23 days to go to the end. And on the website, the IOB donation website, we've collected almost $7,000. But there have also been some other donations outside of that website directly to Entrada's Dark Sky Fund. So we've got a little over $9,000. So we're about halfway. And then we just heard a watercolor artist named Linda Flannery, she lives in Salt Lake, has painted a gorgeous painting that is the main street of Torrey with the cottonwood trees and this beautiful night sky over it. And she painted that so that we can auction it to raise money toward this campaign. So there's now this online auction that's going on for this painting. And I've made a bid on the painting, and somebody already outbid me. But that auction ends on September 23rd at 11:59 p.m., just at about the same time our online campaign ends through IOB, which is the next day. And then whoever is the highest bidder will receive that painting at the Heritage Star Festival. So they can come to the festival and go home with a beautiful painting, which I greatly covet because it's so beautiful.
It fits in nicely, this Dark Skies Over Torrey initiative, with so many other things that are going on, like the International Dark Sky National Park designation for Capitol Reef. They go out on a night, I'm not sure when they measure the amount of light in any given location. I know they go over to Gary and Barb's house nearby where I live in Teesdale. Yes. You don't happen to know when that happens?
I don't, but Larry Johnson and Annette Lamb are the coordinators, and Annette and Larry told me that they actually do that twice a year. And there are two locations right in Torrey that they do, and then in Teesdale, and then there's one in the park, and there's one more. I think there are five, maybe farther up Highway 12, so there are five sites. And this is actually something that you have to do in order to get your International Dark Sky Community designation. So you have to monitor the light, and you have to have at least two events promoting the night sky. So we've already got the Heritage Dark Sky Festival every year that's co-sponsored between Entrada and the park, and probably town now too. So we just have to do one more. So that's what I mean. We're so close to even getting provisional status. Part of that is to establish the baseline of how much light there is in the night sky, and then to see, is the illumination of the night sky going up or is it being reduced? And our goal is to reduce it. And I know that with these lights, the street lights being replaced, that's the majority of the light that's coming into the sky from Torrey. So that's going to happen right away.
Have you received any pushback from people who think it's not important? You mentioned this earlier. Some people are nervous about changing out lights because it used to, well, they're often called security lights.
Yes.
They're put up because their idea, the concept is if it's not completely dark around your house at night, that gives you a level of protection. You can walk down the street and see in front of you. And that critics may say we're just trying to go back to the Stone Age.
Well, I've talked to two specific ladies in Torrey about that very issue about security, and each of them have one of those big yard lights that have the high pressure sodium fixture at the top, and they have it for security purposes. And I totally understand where they're coming from. Actually, there's also a hotel that's real close by that has one of those as well. And they all, the two ladies for security purpose, but the hotel has it because their guests walk from their cabins to the shower, and they have to walk across this space, a parking lot. And so she's got it for safety. So anyway, I was talking to one of the ladies that had the security concern, and I explained that there are lights that can still provide security, but also can be fully shielded from the sky so that the light goes down where you want to see security issues. And after I had a conversation with her, she felt much more relaxed. And I believe that she will allow us to replace one of her lights. So the other lady who's concerned about security is her friend. So the first lady said, and I'll be happy to talk with you and my friend about her light as well. And I think the way that the conversations need to happen is not a big group of people coming together and having a big conversation that way, because everybody's lighting need is an individual lighting need. So I think that the conversation will be better to talk to one-on-one, face-to-face, and say, what do you need your lights to do? And what can we do to help meet your needs for lighting outside, but also will protect the night sky? And I think that's going to be the best way to approach that.
You kind of referenced another issue, and that is that another purpose of lighting is to attract commercial business. And I won't name names, but I think you could argue that some of the biggest offenders in terms of night sky pollution around Torrey and Wayne County larger are commercial businesses who light up the property to attract cars at night.
Yes, I think that that is a concern that people have. And I can understand why the idea behind the lights that they have is, let me be really bright because tourists traveling through in the dark will see it and they will be attracted to it. And that might well be true in some instances, but I think that with this phenomenon of astrotourism really becoming more and more part of an economy that might be welcome in an area like Wayne County, those people have a lot of money to spend, and they're the sort of people that aren't going to stay for just one night because they're here to see the night. And what if they come one night and it's cloudy? So they have to stay a second night so they can enjoy Wayne County during the daytime and for multiple nights. So yeah, we want to have those sorts of tourists here. And we also want to support all the businesses as well. So I think we just have to have more conversation, more education about what's going to work for businesses, what's going to bring money into their pocket, because that's the only way that they're going to be able to continue on, but also helps them be good neighbors to a dark sky community.
How do people contact you or find a place online if they want to support the effort or they have questions?
So they can go online if that's how they prefer to go online, and they put in the URL iob.org. So that's iob.org. And once you get there, you just search for a project and just put in Dark Skies Over Torrey, and it'll take you right to the homepage so you can find out all about the project and make a donation, which I strongly encourage you to do. And then they could also give me a call if they want to, and they can reach me at 435-425-2228. And I kind of have to end with our tagline, because I just love this saying by Vincent van Gogh, and you know those beautiful night sky paintings that he's done, that he did. The sight of stars make us dream. And I think it's really true. I think looking at the stars, using your imagination when you're looking at them, I think that's a great dream. And I really would hope that other people would dream like that as well.
And for information about the Heritage Star Fest or these other events that we've talked about, the auction, Entrada.org, EntradaInstitute.org is the address to go to, and you can find information there. Mary Bedingfield Smith, who was spearheading this volunteer effort called Dark Skies Over Torrey, thank you very much for giving us some time.
Thank you very much for speaking with me, Lee. It's been really fun.
Again, you've been listening to another community update on K-Wayne Radio. If you would like more information about our service, you can look around the site that you're on right now, or if you've got referred to the site, it's kwanradio, all one word, .com, and you will find other links there. You can even donate to support this service. Thank you very much for joining us, and good luck with the project.
Thank you, Lee. I appreciate it.